CONCON, or more properly, an Article 5 Constitutional Convention. I'm Ben Swan with your Truth in Media Moment, sponsored in part by BenSwan.com. Radio and TV hosts such as Mark Levin and Sean Hannity have been talking about this for some time. An Article 5 Constitutional Convention, which can be used to create new amendments to the U.S. Constitution. New amendments that could be used to force Washington to balance the U.S. budget and would require responsiveness to the people. But is an Article 5 CONCON really the answer? Or is there a reason for Americans who consider themselves to be liberty-minded and constitutionalists to be very wary about this idea? I believe there is. I'll tell you why right after this. The destruction of constitutional liberties and endless foreign wars. The voice of the American people silenced while lawmakers simply enrich themselves and the political class. I'm Ben Swan. It isn't about left versus right. No. The real fight in America is liberty versus tyranny. At BenSwan.com, we are breaking the left-right paradigm. We know that the American two-party system is broken, and that to restore American liberty means to restore your rights as an individual. At BenSwan.com, we cover stories that the national media simply won't touch. From the National Defense Authorization Act and indefinite detention, to nullification, drone strikes, the militarization of police and crony capitalism. We're not afraid to stand up for the rights of the people. We are the face of new media. BenSwan.com, it's where humanity is greater than politics. The idea that Article 5 Constitutional Convention sure is exciting, but is it also dangerous? Well, it certainly could be. The real danger for liberty-minded Americans is that the current climate among lawmakers, both on the national and the state level, is a climate that has very little regard for personal, individual, and natural rights. Take, for instance, all that's gone on in our nation for the past 12 years since September 11, 2001. Fourth Amendment due process rights have been suspended by Congress. The executive branch claims it has the power to indefinitely detain U.S. citizens until the end of the war on terror. And speaking of war, Congress hasn't had a constitutionally declared war since World War II. The Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is infringed more and more daily. So here's the big question. If an Article 5 Constitutional Convention is held, what will it do to force Congress and the President to obey the Constitution when they're not obeying it now? The other danger, what happens if new amendments are added to attempt to strip constitutional rights that currently exist? For stories that affect your liberty, you can find me online at BenSwan.com. That's BenSwan.com, where humanity is greater than politics.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, SupernaturalSilver.com, and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Chelation was first used in the 50s to get the lead out, but the doctors found it also improved circulation and heart health. Today, people still spend thousands of dollars to take chelation. The herbs in Extendivite were chosen for their chelating and healing effects to give you the detoxifying benefits of chelation plus the health benefits of the other herbs for a fraction of the cost of chelation therapy. People have reported finding many long-term ailments start to disappear the longer they take Extendivite. It is no secret that if you remove the toxins, you remove the causes of many of today's ailments. Don't wait any longer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Greetings once again, and thank you for joining us here at Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the remainder of this hour, and you are listening to Datum Line. In our last Datum Line broadcast, entitled Values Clarification Part 14, we introduced the subject of missionary outreach to the North American Indians of colonial Virginia during the late 1600s to early 1700s. This was in connection with our ongoing contrast between the moral standards of today and those of the early English and European arrivals. We noticed, however, a peculiar rift regarding acceptable moral conduct that surfaced among the English settlers of Virginia over 300 years ago. An ensuing conflict of considerable dimension resulted from their diverse relationships with the native inhabitants of Virginia, that alternated from what appeared amicable to violent and barbaric hostility, depending on numerous factors, not the least of which was their obvious cultural dissimilarities. This was to be their first test of multiculturalism in the Western Hemisphere, where two religious, political, and economic systems failed to mesh in perfect harmony. Opinions vary even now, over 300 years later, as to what should have been done to settle these international disputes. And to better understand this subject, let's first define the word nation, which is often assumed to be synonymous with the word country. Quote, nation, a people or aggregation of men existing in the form of an organized juridical society, that's an organized political community, usually inhabiting a distinct portion of the earth, now we're talking about a country, speaking the same language, using the same customs, possessing historic continuity, and distinguished from other like groups by their racial origin and characteristics, and generally, but not necessarily, living under the same government and sovereignty, end quote. This from Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition, which relies upon Montoya versus United States, with this legal definition found at 180 U.S. 261. So the word nation refers to people, but the word country is where they live. And when a country is comprised of but one nation, the distinction between nation and country is easily blurred. Our Pledge of Allegiance, for example, speaks of one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. But pursuant to Montoya versus United States, is America the habitation of only one nation? Or is it multinational and becoming even more so as we're drawn inexorably into a socialist one-world political economy predicated on an emerging universal religion begetting a global dictatorship? You see, the ramifications of what might first appear as totally unrelated subjects are overwhelming and reveal the purpose behind many decades of social conditioning to subvert even the possibility of an open discussion in this land of the free and home of the brave, where permits are required to exercise free speech. Many of the subjects we've covered in these Datum Line broadcasts are presented from a point of view that differs from what has gradually become the politically correct humanist socialist perspective. In fact, I'd be accused of preaching heresy by modern theologians. That's an interesting word, heresy. So from Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, published in 1828, let's define that word. Heresy, quote, a fundamental error in religion, or an error or opinion respecting some fundamental doctrine of religion. He goes on, but in a country where there is an established church, an opinion is deemed heresy when it differs from that of the church. Question, does 501c3, tax-exempt corporate status, tend to create an established church in America? Well, it does in the eyes of many people, in and out of government. Mr. Webster goes on, quote, the scriptures being the standard of faith, any opinion that is repugnant to its doctrines is heresy. Well, that's interesting. Maybe in his day, but certainly not in 2014, the scriptures are no longer the standard of faith. Again, we see a difference in the moral standards of America between then and now. He goes on, but as men differ in their interpretation of scripture, an opinion deemed heretical by one body of Christians may be deemed orthodox by another, end quote. So you see, if my views are seen as heretical to modern theology, that doesn't necessarily mean or prove that they're biblically incorrect. Now, over the last few millennia, the world's populations gradually established a suitable homeland or country for the many distinct nationalities that inhabit the earth, each national group having adapted to and even showing a preference for different climates, topographical features, and the like. While this lengthy process has not always been peaceful, it was evidently thought to be preferable to the integration and amalgamation of the distinct cultural groups. In fact, it seems to have accommodated the divine purpose outlined in Genesis chapter 11, where, at some time after the deluge or Noah's flood, God separated the people who began to build a city and a tower in a place called Shinar, which is an ancient name for what later became known as Chaldea or Babylonia. Now, since it only takes 9 verses, let's read Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, where it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, well, who are they? Well, these are the families of the sons of Noah. You read about them in Genesis chapter 10, 32. That they found a plain in the land of Shinar. No, that wasn't an airplane. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another. Or his speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, which means confusion, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Lest we get lost in the pieces, there being some dispute as to how all-encompassing are the families of Noah and the whole earth, God obviously had a controversy with the people and the far-reaching political economy they proposed to establish. If the same God is still of the same mind, he's probably not delighted with the New World Order and its goal to amalgamate the earth's populations. In this arena, modern theology join forces with mainstream media and public education in a more progressive outlook. The question is whether God is politically progressive, or is he unchanging? Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Jacob, by the way, was surnamed Israel. Hebrews 13, verse 8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." Today's message, Values Clarification, Part 15. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Datum Line.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Greetings and welcome back to this segment of Datum Line. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. Today's message, Values Clarification, Part 15. In today's opening segment, we introduced two opposing political economic philosophies rooted in two opposing religions. One is the integrationist view of man striving for global unification. The other being a segregationist policy of God, which seems to intend the preservation of distinct and separate cultures. This policy was ratified in a unique covenantal relationship between God and Israel, a people separated unto God from all the other nations. Of course, this presupposes that God didn't change his earlier policy of at least a few thousand years' duration. Concurrent with God's segregationist policy of Genesis chapter 11, there is an opposite integrationist philosophy propagated among the various cultures of the world, some of which are more inclined to mix than others. Christian culture was one of the more reluctant to accept this practice, which has been gaining more converts since the Civil Rights Act of 1965 and the increasing pressure brought to bear upon the American European population, in particular, since around World War II. Children of my generation, in the late 1950s, for example, were subjected to an advertising blitz in the form of cartoons produced by the innocuous Ad Council, a creature of the Council on Foreign Relations, I think, promoting integration. During the late 1600s, however, this idea surfaced in the Jamestown, Virginia settlement when John Rolfe asked permission to marry the daughter of an Indian chief, that Indian chief being Powhatan. Now, her name, the daughter, has been immortalized, Pocahontas. You see, some people are meant to be remembered, and others are not, and sometimes for reasons we never suspected. Much is learned from the forgotten past, and there are those who profit from engineering its concealment. You may recall from an early Datumline broadcast how the general ignorance of society could be turned to a useful purpose of the political elite who govern that society, perhaps even secretly. It was expressed by General Albert Pike, sovereign grand commander of the southern jurisdiction of ancient and accepted Freemasonry, in his book, Morals and Dogma, at page 95, and I quote, "In the most advanced nation of Europe, there are more ignorant than wise, more poor than rich, more automatic laborers, the mere creatures of habit, than reasoning and reflective men. The proportion is at least 1,000 to 1. Unanimity of opinion, he says, is so obtained. It only exists among the multitude who do not think, and the political or spiritual priesthood who think for that multitude, who think how to guide and govern them." He goes on later in the same page to say, quote, "Masonry seeks to be this guide," end quote. Dumbing down our children through modern education, slanting or biasing the news by modern media, and maybe even twisting the truths of Scripture by modern theology, are the means by which unanimity of opinion has been engineered. As we learned in our last message, the intermarriage of John Rolfe and Pocahontas was not well received back in England, with formal deliberations quickly putting an effectual stop to the practice thereafter. We can all speculate as to what undergirded such a policy back in England, but as we'll see in today's message, to ignore the Bible and perhaps the law written on the heart of a people called Israel, later known by another name, is to ignore a vital piece of the puzzle. If we presuppose that Israelites were totally unrelated to us, then we can easily ignore the prohibitions and circumstances specific to Israel. But it's difficult to ignore that nagging inner voice, or law writ large on the heart or conscience, that can make us feel uncomfortable about certain behavior and practices, which answers an important question as to why certain people resist an inquiry as to who is modern-day Israel. It's because the God of Israel just might have some rules governing his people, and none of us especially like being held accountable to any more rules than necessary. In fact, some people don't want any rules at all, other than the ones they invent as the need arises. So it may have been in early Virginia, when there was a scarcity of women among the English settlers suitable for marriage partners. As the songwriter said, "The women get prettier at closing time." He was referring to the women at the local pub. So, too, the native women, who were regarded previously as off-limits to the white man. To suggest that other cultures might still be off-limits today with respect to marriage is to invite bitter and emotional invective, however. The most polite objection will assert that people among the world's non-Israelite population are certainly found to be, they're certainly to be found among them good, nice, kind, and polite individuals, as if to say that the only issue before us is man's idea of how to define good, nice, kind, or polite, rather than what God says is appropriate conduct, particularly for the people he brought under the old and new covenants. If the written law of God in Scripture and the undefiled law written on the heart in harmony therewith tell us anything, it's that our Creator did not, for example, intend that two nice, kind, and polite men, as certain men define themselves, should be joined in holy matrimony. And God's reasons for such a prohibition may exceed our ability or willingness to comprehend. In our last message, part 14 of the series, we opened with Christ's admonition in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, where he said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." Hardly a delicate piece of advice, and not your run-of-the-mill sermon topic downtown, especially among today's guilt-ridden European Americans, who go to great lengths to prove themselves eager to commit cultural suicide. Jesus was not talking about four-legged creatures, nor did he shy away from what he must have thought was essential for us to know. But such are the times in which we live that people get upset with the idea that Christ, as head of the church, does not view everyone as being equal. His view of humanity is somewhat discriminatory. We noted in our last message an early and concerted effort to civilize, as the English understood the word at least, and to Christianize the Native American Indians of Virginia in the 1600s to the 1700s, an effort they viewed as an eventual failure. And that failure was predicated on the Indians' refusal to accept the gospel, meaning the good news, which, if isolated from the whole counsel of God, Genesis to Revelation, begs the question as to whether any of the English settlers had second thoughts about spreading their religion to such unresponsive people in the first place. Some of us can identify with this question, as when trying to open the eyes of a neighbor to issues of concern to us, and getting that deer-in-the-headlight response so typical these days. But are we deterred? Oh, no. We keep right on trying, unable to accept the idea that some people have a natural aversion to the truth, preferring to believe a lie. Isn't that what Paul was getting at when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, saying, "Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Is that God would do that? That's what it says. "That they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. Well, here's our music, Datum Line, Values Clarification, part 15. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Welcome back to this half of our current installment, Values Clarification Part 15. On the front side of this last break, I had just quoted the Apostle Paul, who had written to the church at Thessalonica, and he was suggesting to them that there were people who did not believe the truth. And the reason that they did not believe the truth is because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, maybe that's the problem that we face out here. There are too many people who take pleasure in deeds of unrighteousness. And a lot of people, of course, would say, well, yeah, we're just talking about individuals, aren't we? Well, there are certainly individuals who delight in unrighteousness. But God suggested to the Israelites, at least, that there were whole nations of people who had succumbed to unrighteousness. So it wasn't just on an individual basis. And we'll be getting into that a little bit in this message and certainly in the next one in greater detail. But when those who take pleasure in unrighteousness, in turn, that will ensure that they believe a lie and therefore reject the truth. But still, we feel compelled to share the truth with others. And when it comes to Christian outreach, there's that compelling verse of Scripture, you know, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, that says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Jesus said. Well, surely that must be all-inclusive, right? Even though we don't preach the gospel to every life form, you know, dogs, cats, insects, birds, reptiles, and amphibians, all of which are creatures. And it said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So you see, by defining correctly in context what the word creature means, we begin to realize that maybe you even have to define what you mean by the word gospel, and maybe what you mean by the word going into all the world, and maybe if you take some of this in context with other scriptures that we have raised in the past, you begin to realize that it's going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, no matter where they may be. Okay. Anyway, that's if you take this in context. I receive word directly and indirectly on occasion from missionaries who become disillusioned with their efforts to convert the heathen, as they were once called. Several of them readily agreed that to take the European Israelite religion to alien cultures was a lesson in futility. And although it produced an outward appearance of success, it was because of a hybrid religion that was sufficiently watered down so as to make it palatable for foreign consumption. Now, this is not meant as hateful criticism of other people, but I'm offering it as a simple explanation for the miserable failure to Christianize a world committed to religious humanism and its natural offspring, a socialist political economy. A well-known novelist and gifted writer by the name of Barbara Kingsolver is the daughter of Christian missionaries who served in the mission field in Africa. In one of her many books, entitled The Poisonwood Bible, she depicts the absurdity of trying to insert the white man's religion and associated beliefs into an alien culture that simply cannot fathom our God-given innate peculiarities. You see, there's much about the Bible that we don't even agree upon or understand, not the least of which is the people to whom it, the Bible, and the covenants contained therein were written. Does it ever occur to our missionaries that the Lord might be offended by their efforts to amalgamate the earth's populations through missionary outreach in an attempt to create what he never intended, perhaps? For example, is God pleased with the efforts of Monsanto to create life forms unlike anything ever seen on the planet? A statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ comes to mind, although it has broader applications and implications. He said that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That from Matthew 15:13. And I would submit that Monsanto is going to create plants for us that the heavenly Father did not plant. Now, while Monsanto holds patents to life forms they consider to be their own private property, there are students of the Bible who fear that God is offended by our indiscriminately mixing the gene pools, even among the human species. The Bible is replete with hard sayings, and many there be who try to build a comfortable theology out of the remaining verses that don't offend anyone, but tickle the ears of everyone. Jesus said, for example, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Ouch, that's difficult. He says, "For I came not, or come, to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Well, that's what he said. Now, and this falls into the same category as Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God said, "I, God, will put enmity." That's hatred. God will put hatred somewhere? Yeah. He says, "I will put enmity or hatred between thee," thee being Satan or the serpent in the Garden of Eden, "and the woman," that being Eve, "and between thy seed," that being Satan's seed, "and her seed." And the word seed is offspring. Now, modern theology does quite a number to get around that one, but there it is. Now, while it's not my intention to thoroughly explain such examples of contrary-sounding passages, they do provide a clue as to what the Bible contains that is politely avoided in mixed company. What, then, are the ultimate consequences of a pick-and-choose smorgasbord theology propagated in a deceptive world that bows to the rulers of darkness? We may not know the best answer to that question, but we can be sure that consequences do exist. So it is that we enjoy, or else endure, the consequences of what our forefathers did or did not do based upon what they believed was right or wrong. And they certainly did not agree 100% about much of anything, nor do we. Gee, some things just never change, do they? Now, regarding the failed missionary outreach to Native American Indians of Virginia, one school of thought that surfaced during the late 1600s was expressed by Colonel Byrd in a letter from which I read an excerpt in our last message. He declared, you remember, quote, that there is but one way of converting these poor infidels and reclaiming them from barbarity, and that is charitably to intermarry with them, according to the modern policy of the most Christian king in Canada and Louisiana. This taken from Old Churches, Volume 1 by Bishop Meade, page 283, that published in 1857. Now, this is an interesting presupposition of Colonel Byrd, who claims that they, the settlers, had no other means by which to civilize or convert a people he regarded as barbaric other than to marry them. Maybe that's what Marvin Gaye meant by his song, Sexual Healing. Yeah, we can't get to you any other way, so we'll sexually heal you, huh? But I'd like to challenge the women in our audience to consider the wisdom, or non-wisdom, of converting a barbaric man to the height of civility by no other means than joining with him in God's intimate plan of marriage. Some of you may have given that a try. You know, the nice guy whose only flaw was watching football while guzzling his suds or chewing tobacco, or doing and dealing drugs, or just messing around with other women. You know, little incidentals like that that you thought you could correct by living with a man in that state of matrimonial bliss. Drop me a note and tell me all about your success. Some of you guys fell for the same program, so tell me all about it. Colonel Byrd went on to say, quote, had the English done this, done what? Charitably intermarried with the Indians. Had the English done this at the first settlement of the colony, that being at Jamestown, Virginia, the infidelity of the Indians had been, meaning would have been, worn out at this day. And what he meant there was that they would no longer be infidels. With their dark complexions, in other words, they would soon look like white folk. And the country had, meaning would have, swarmed with more people than insects. Now, he might have been right about that one. It was certainly an unreasonable nicety that prevented their entering into so good-natured an alliance, he says. Now he's going to justify his belief, but not from the Bible. He says, quote, all nations of men have the same natural dignity. I'm going to stop right there. Is that what God said about the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, Girgashites, and Amorites, all of whom Israel was told to utterly destroy? All have the same natural dignity. Well, we've got more music. This is our next break. Bruce G. McCarthy, Values Clarification, Part 15.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, SupernaturalSilver.com, and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Welcome back to the final segment of Datum Line, today's message, values, clarification, part 15. We were reading from Colonel Byrd's letter. This is back from the late 1600s in Virginia. And he was talking about the wonderful characteristics of all the different people on the planet. And we white people certainly don't have all the most wonderful characteristics ourselves. But he goes on to say that we all know that very bright talents may be lodged under very dark skins. Now, that is certainly true, but talents are not the issue, are they? He says that the principal difference between one people and another proceeds only from the different opportunities of improvement. That's what he says, end quote. Well, that smacks of religious humanism. So let's go to the Humanist Manifesto 2 from 1973 in connection with Colonel Byrd's idea of opportunities of improvement, which tugs on the heartstrings of the humanists who want to ensure, nay, even mandate, require, that equal opportunities be given to everyone on the planet, regardless of who, and guess who, must foot the bill to make it happen. The 11th plank, Humanist Manifesto 2, quote, the principle of moral equality must be furthered through elimination of all discrimination based upon race, religion, sex, age, or national origin. This means equality of opportunity and recognition of talent and merit. Oh, that sounds so sweet. Okay? Let's just take religion for an example. There's to be no discrimination based on religion. Well, what if that religion is humanism, which brings about a socialist dictatorship? Would you discriminate against that? What if the religion is Satanism or witchcraft with its human sacrifices? Would you discriminate against that? Oh, heavens, no, we couldn't do that now, could we? Okay. Colonel Byrd was several hundred years ahead of the folks who signed the Humanist Manifesto, too. At least he accepted the leaven that would later leaven the whole lump. Now, whether he understood how it would all play out, we can only guess. But he certainly saw in his proposal for intermarriage the merging of two cultures, even though he admitted that one of those cultures had to be reclaimed from barbarity. And to do so, he would marry them as a charitable gesture. Now, how would you like it if someone married you out of charity? Nothing else, he said, would work. Well, if that's true, why would marriage work? With no more common ground than physically joining a man to a woman, why would that accomplish the civilizing or Christianizing of an entire population without affecting the other side of that relationship in equal measure, that he presumed would somehow elevate the Indian? After all, if one culture is improved, at least the descendants, by what law of God does the other culture not suffer a decline? If you, as a marriageable single, were to meet someone of the opposite sex who disdained your religious beliefs and consequential political and economic philosophy, would you expect a lifelong marriage, including children, to have any hope for success based on a physical relationship and nothing else? That's the kind of mess that Hollywood has brought to America. And the consequence is that we have families made up of his, her, and their children, or maybe even no children. Colonel Byrd adds further to his justification, but again, not from the Bible. He says, quote, "The Indians by no means want understanding." Now, that doesn't sound good, does it? But I think what he means there is they by no means lack understanding. They're not wanting in understanding, you see. "And are in figure tall and well proportioned." Oh, so they're good looking. Gee, that almost sounds like Satan's message to Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the sinful experience, right? Looks good, doesn't it? Okay. He says even their copper-colored complexions would admit of blanching, means that they would tend to whiten, if not in the first, at the furthest in the second generation. In other words, they'll get to look like us. If we just have maybe a couple generations of children, they'll look like us. But I got a question. If from the Indians' perspective, their children are going to get lighter, do the English children get darker? He says, "I may safely venture to say, the Indian women would have made altogether as honest wives for the first planters as the damsels they used to purchase from aboard ships," end quote. Again, from Old Churches by Meade, starting at page 183. Now, it sounds like marriageable women were in short supply if men were purchasing damsels for the purpose of marriage. Doesn't that sound like it to you? But the authors of George Washington's Sacred Fire, Mr. Lilbeck and Mr. Newcomb, who published this book in 2006, make an interesting observation in footnote number 46 of chapter 4. They said, quote, "The marriage of the princess," that's Pocahontas, "to the Englishman," now that's John Rolfe, "created a sense of peace and well-being between their formerly warring peoples." I like that word. It created a sense of peace. But he went on to say that things forever changed for the worse on March 22nd of that year. Unbeknown to the settlers that began to spread out without fear along the James River, a massacre had been secretly planned for a period of years. Oh, you mean to say that they wouldn't scrap their plans for a massacre now that we have interracial marriages going on between Pocahontas and John Rolfe? No. Okay. Bishop Meade, at volume 1, page 85, describes this as, quote, "one of the most unexpected and direful calamities which had ever befallen the colony. Besides the destruction of houses by fire, between 300 and 400 persons were put to death in the most cruel manner," end quote. But regarding the intermarriage that shocked the council back in England, What influence might the Bible have had on such men and their condemnation of the practice? There's little time left to cover this in today's message, but we'll begin at Exodus chapter 34, verse 10 through 16, where it says, "And he being God, said to Moses, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people being Israel. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee." Verse 11. "Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." Now, that's not just one person at a time. This is going to be whole nations. Verse 12. "Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant," a treaty or a contract, "with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest." Now, he's just named six different nations. Don't make any covenant with them. "Lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee." Verse 13. "But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves." Groves has something to do with their practices. We won't go into that. Verse 14. "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous," that's a capital J there, "is a jealous god," small j there. Verse 15. "Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants." Now, a covenant would include marriage contracts or marriage covenants. "Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice," or partake of his sacrificial activities. Verse 16. "And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons," is the marriage, "and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods." So you see, not everyone was a marriageable partner for the covenant people of God, a people who God never forsook. Now, with our much larger global population today, could such people still exist? Well, it's possible, is it not? In our next message, we'll bring more scripture to bear on this subject, if for no other reason than to show why our Bible reading and believing European ancestors exercised more caution and restraint when it came to international relations, especially concerning marriage and the begetting of children. Now, this need not have proceeded from a spirit of animosity any more than their avoidance of extramarital relations with the man or woman next door. Rather, their concern was for proprietary relationships ordained of God, even though they might not have understood every reason or consequence to the fullest extent. They trusted that God knew better than they did. This is the end of our message. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. I hope it's been of interest to you. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.